Welcome. Today we're discussing an interesting content about the absolutely critical battleground of school boards and what they mean for the future of public education and democracy itself in America.
And it seems like the stakes could not be higher. The piece opens with a really, I mean, a truly shocking story out of New York.
It's unbelievable. We're talking about the East Ramapo Central School District. Now, this district was named the most fiscally stressed in the entire state. They were supposedly operating on a $20 million deficit.
Okay, so they're in dire straits. But that's not the whole story, is it?
Not even close. They discover a previously unreported budget surplus of nearly $30 million. $30 million.
Wow, so they finally have the money to fix things. I read that all 13 school buildings were in failing condition and there was even lead-contaminated water.
Exactly. The cost to fix it all was estimated at over $200 million. And what did the local officials do with that surprise $30 million? They fought to return it to the taxpayers instead of making repairs.
That's just infuriating. How does something like that even happen? Who is making these decisions?
Well, that's the core of the issue. The student body is about 96% Black and Latino. But the school board, for years, it has been majority white. And many members send their own children to private yeshivas.
Wait, so people who don't even use the public schools are in charge of them? And they're actively defunding them?
That's it precisely. They organized, got elected, and then used their positions to cut local taxes and siphon public money into private schools. The article calls it a 21st century example of Jim Crow education. It wasn't always like this. The district used to be one of the best in the state.
Just devastating. So this is the context for the two books the article discusses, right? Two different takes on why this is happening.
Exactly. First, you have Scott Levy's book, Why School Boards Matter. His argument, basically, is that school boards are essential, but they've become vulnerable to political special interest groups.
Okay, that seems reasonable on the surface. What's his solution?
He thinks we need to preserve the, quote, sanctity and independence of the school board. Make them free from politics and run them with careful management practices, kind of like a corporate boardroom.
But I have to challenge that. How can a democratically elected body, one responsible for our children's education, ever be free from politics? That feels like a complete fantasy.
The article agrees with you 100%. It points out that Levy's logic mirrors the right's talking point that parent movements against things like critical race theory were just organic, when in reality, we know they were funded by millions in dark money from figures like Christopher Rufo.
Ah, the universal school distrust strategy. So Levy's apolitical ideal is a bit naive then. Does he name any of these special interest groups he's worried about?
Oh, he does. And this is the part that is truly wild. One of the main threats he identifies? Teachers' unions.
You're kidding me. He thinks the teachers are a dangerous special interest group, separate from the public.
That's his argument. He cites this old 2006 study that found teachers who live in the district they work in are more likely to vote in school board elections. He frames this as self-interest.
That's not self-interest. That's called being an engaged citizen. He also completely ignores how unions actually work, doesn't he? What about things like bargaining for the common good?
Got it in one. He totally misses that unions often bargain for things that benefit the entire community. Smaller class sizes, safer buildings, more nurses, not just wages. It's a massive blind spot.
Okay, so that's Levy's take. What's the alternative view from the second book?
That would be Why Fascists Fear Teachers by Randi Weingarten, the president of the American Federation of Teachers. And her view is much clearer. She argues the problem isn't politics in general. The problem is the far right.
She makes a distinction. I like the analogy the article uses.
The firefighters versus the arsonists. She says, teachers are working to build better schools. Fascists are trying to burn them down. It's a very different framing.
And she has examples of this. Firefighting approach in action, right?
Yep. The article highlights McDowell County, West Virginia. It's one of the poorest parts of the country. the AFT, her union, came in and piloted a community schools model.
What does that entail?
It's a holistic vision. They provide wraparound services. For example, they brought in a mobile dental truck so students could get the dental care they needed. They even built housing to help retain good teachers in the area.
That's incredible. It's based on the idea that the quality of a kid's education is built just as much outside the school as inside it. Address the material needs so they can actually focus on learning.
Exactly. It's a practical, community-first approach. Now, that's not to say Weingarten is without criticism. The article is pretty clear about that.
Right. Her politics are described as relatively tepid. She's not seen as a radical labor leader, you know, endorsing Clinton over Sanders and having a less than enthusiastic view of Medicare for All.
Correct. But it does note that now, in 2025, she seems to have become more forceful, even stepping down from the DNC because she was out of step with its leadership.
But there's another, more current controversy, isn't there? Something about artificial intelligence.
Oh yeah, she's embraced AI in a big way. The AFT partnered with Microsoft, OpenAI, and others to create a National Academy for AI Instruction for Teachers.
And not everyone is on board with that. The article quotes a researcher calling it a gigantic public experiment that no one has asked for. There are real concerns about it reducing critical thinking skills.
It's a huge gamble. And it shows that even on the firefighter side, the path forward isn't simple. But it all comes back to the larger threat. The article ends by reminding us of Trump's quote after winning a primary in 2016.
I love the poorly educated. It's chilling. It lays the entire strategy bare.
It really does. You have Levy's view, this idea of a cold, impersonal corporate boardroom approach, versus Weingarten's view, which is partisan and messy, but understands you have to actually fight for democracy. It's clear that believing in a future for public schools is now, in itself, a partisan choice.
You're either on the side of the American people and their children, or you're against them. The lines are drawn right at the local school board meeting.
That's a perfect way to put it. It's a fascinating and frankly terrifying look at where the real battles for our future are being fought. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Goodbye.